News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 22nd of May, Anno Domini 2004. You lucky people. You're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we're going to be bringing you all kinds of interesting news, views. We'll even get to your phone calls, and we'll talk about what's going on around the Internet. We'll start with the news, and I believe this time we'll start with Dave.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
I was sitting on my mic cord.
Yeah, they all said that.
Rip that, you know, straight back, you know, like, what was it, Fat Creek Wedding?
Oh, yeah, right. Where she walks
and
away.
Up and goes to, right. That's what I felt like. I was going to sit on my cord there.
Leslie Nielsen in pretty much all the police gun movies where he's wearing the wireless mic to the bathroom.
You're right.
Okay, we got a few things. One, Microsoft is sort of sweetening the deal, and I guess this is kind of in compliance with terrorist attacks and everything else. People worried about, you know, getting data back from recovering. What they're going to allow people to do, starting on June 1st, is to allow the server software to be on what they call a cold server. In other words, one that's just sort of sitting there waiting in case your main server dies. This will be another backup. And which I don't quite understand anyways, because most servers, you'd have a RAID system and some type of mirroring or that in it anyways.
Well, even
right. if only if it's a disastrous.
Yeah. So this is more or less saying, okay, you know, before it was, each machine had to have its own server software. So, but they're saying, all right, well, you can put it on an additional machine. And it can be sitting there in the wings just in case you have a disaster. I mean, you can have companies, you know, fires or wherever.
See, this is for the software assurance people. This is for the, and you know why they're doing it.
Yeah.
Because the software assurance was a thing where you bought 2 years of, 2 or 3 years of automatic updates.
And there haven't been any.
And there haven't been, exactly.
Exactly.
There haven't been any.
Well,
and people are complaining because they were saying, when they were selling it, they were saying, what this means is you'll get Longhorn free, no upgrade charges.
Well, that's
and
the now thing. Right now, they're saying the SA has been less than well received than
less than well received. People are pork. People are talking about suing them because they've sold them something and given them nothing for it.
Exactly.
It looks like Longhorn won't be out till 2007 now.
It's just people applying pressure. It's just like people applying pressure on Microsoft to keep Windows 98 around. Oh, it works fine for all the folks that have it doing what they're doing. They don't have to listen to all the hype. Oh, I need all this bigger, better, faster software. When if they're only doing, say, Word Perfect, like in a law office.
Right.
You don't need all that if they're only doing a specific task, and if it's not perfect.
Right. The problem is Microsoft doesn't make money if you just keep running the old operating system. And they're also getting pressure from Linux. I mean, you look at a company that says, you know, wow, I've got you know, a Linux server, I've got a Linux file server, and it talks to my PCs great.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a Linux print server, and it talks to my PCs great. And, oh, update is a command line that I automatically run every day at 5 a.m., and it updates everything.
And,
always.
Oh, by the way, you don't have to have a big kick-butt machine to do it.
Exactly.
Less memory.
Right. Because you don't even need to run a graphical interface if you don't want to, so you don't even need a monitor on the machine.
Yeah, it just sits there and runs.
Right. You can administer it from a distance. You can do whatever you want.
Oh, yeah.
And that's making them nervous.
Oh, big time. It's running scared.
And it's significantly cheaper.
Significantly. Yeah.
Say free for unlimited users.
That's exactly right.
What's Windows cost for, we looked at this one.
The 5 user license right now is around 100 and a half.
Yeah, we looked at like 100 user license and it was $20,000.
Right.
Think of someone, one of the larger companies that might need, tens of thousands of concurrent users.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
That's two commas.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, and here you just put the Linux box on your network and go.
Well, John McCain with the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee is still a little pretty well ticked off because he's saying the spam crackdown, and in his words, hasn't helped one bit yet.
No.
Instead of getting better, it's gotten worse.
No.
And he's shocked.
Oh, he's shocked.
Well, there was an interesting thing that came out. The law that was passed this week is that sexually oriented spam must be marked as such, just right. like postal mail is, to prevent people from opening something that says, look at this, or, hey, look what I found.
Right. I guess maybe...
And all the people sending it from, like, Sweden and stuff just snickered and kept on sending.
Yeah. Well, that's, maybe we should all go testify in front of a subcommittee or anything else and, kind of explain to them, hello, this is called the... World Wide Web.
I don't want to point that out too much to the bigwigs because someone might say, well, all right, we'll break it. We'll stop.
Right.
You will not be able to get anywhere outside the country. And I'll
government wouldn't, hello. Government would have so many lawsuits against them because so many companies worldwide now.
The government doesn't own the Internet.
Hello. How about just UPS? Or FedEx.
Right.
They're worldwide. Shipping, sit there and try to shut that down for companies that are tracking shipping and everything else? No, that can't happen. That's one place they don't want to go. They just got to realize, and I don't know what it's going to take, maybe another act of Congress, to sit there and realize, hello, folks, this is like one hand clapping. You can't do anything
about
it.
There are two things that we could do about it. One is we could charge everybody for sending email.
Yeah.
And that hurts legitimate users.
And that hurts legitimate users. The other one, which I thought was a brilliant idea, was that you only receive or send email from a certain place X numbers per second. 1 a second, 2 a second, 3 a second. So they can send all the emails they want. They're going to only send 8,000 a day.
Well, then you have problems with large companies that they might have 20,000 employees sending 50,000 messages a minute.
Yeah. That's true.
The other thing I got to point out is anybody that's on the live webcam, they'll notice the number shirt I got on.
Yep.
NYPC Management is sponsoring my son-in-law's baseball team, and he dropped 2 shirts off. There were number 1 and number 2. Guess who got number 1?
Lori.
You got it.
No question.
I got number 2.
That's right, and we all think of you as number 2. Anyway.
Well, actually, going on with the spam bill a little bit, there was a disconcerting ruling this week by the FCC that Internet phone companies like Vonage have been classified as phone companies, not Internet data transfer companies.
Right.
So now they're going to have to start paying all the phone taxes and phone regulations. Mm. And that was one of the things that was keeping the price so cheap, and the phone companies were mad. So everyone using Internet telephone or voice over IP, expect your rates to go up.
Yep. Absolutely true. Steve?
We had some scary news this week in the Apple community. Too many months and years now of saying that the Macs don't have viruses because no one writes them because it's such a relatively small market is backfiring.
Yep.
We kept saying that, and every news magazine points out, well, there's no viruses because there's not that big an audience for it. Stop saying that. Someone's going to write one.
There you are.
There we are. Well, we had a security flaw that was dubbed highly critical this week in Internet Explorer and Safari. And basically, it's an exploit of a common... helpfulness that when you download something, it will automatically decompress, or if it's an installer, it will automatically start installing for you, which is nice for the user to not have to go digging for their downloaded file and try to know how to install it. Well, someone has written or discovered that if you write a script or a virus that has one of these extensions, SCPT or SIT or the stuffed files or installer extensions, Safari will open it for you, thus potentially infecting you with a script virus.
Right.
So the recommendation is to go into your Safari preferences and uncheck to open safe files after download because they're not safe anymore, and to update the Safari. Apple patched Safari the day after the announcement came out, version 1.2.1, build 125.1, which you can...
Left elbow J.
Now, does the Mac have the capabilities like Windows that you...
Auto-update.
To auto-update?
So if you go to your software update control panel and update that. In fact, you might...
Do they get notified, though, like on Windows XP?
Yeah, the notification comes up. The preferences in software update allow for daily, weekly, or monthly checking. You should probably set that to daily, so every day it looks for new updates.
Really, I'm sorry. We get all the people on the forums and in the opinion who are touting about how you can't have problems with Macs. these are the people who are going to get hit first because they don't take any precautions. You should take the same precautions in the Mac world and in the Linux world that you take in the PC world.
Yep. Especially if you transfer files with Windows, but it's you don't have to. The other Apple news that came out this week is that Apple has officially spun off, sort of, the iPod as a separate division inside of Apple. So the Apple has broken themselves into two divisions, the Macintosh division and the iPod division, because of the overwhelming success of the iPods. Last quarter, they sold over 800,000 iPods, which was a 900% increase over the same quarter last year.
Wow.
And a 10% increase over the last quarter.
Nice.
That represented $264 million in revenue. In comparison, they only sold 217,000 consumer Macs, the iMac and eMac, for $250 million in revenue. So they're selling more consumer iPods than they are consumer Macintoshes. So it's interesting just to see some of the sales figures. So now the iPods make up nearly 14% of the company's total revenue. And it's one, well, actually two products now, the iPod and iPod Mini, compared to all the different computers. So we'll see how that turns out in future products. A lot of the industry analysts are saying that this could lead to more and different media devices as the iPod division can focus on making the iPod and iPod-like options rather than needing to be most compatible with the Mac.
Right.
And there's a lot of interesting rumblings on the net that because the iPod works with iTunes for Windows, it's almost bad for Apple.
Yeah,
because they're not selling Macs to run the iPod.
Right.
And there's a, I probably won't find it offhand. There was a breakdown of the Windows downloads versus Mac downloads, and the Windows downloads are a significant percentage.
Yeah.
Of people using an Apple product on a PC.
Yep. In the Windows world, Steve already talked about the exploit that hit Internet Explorer on the Mac and on the Mac, but there's also one for the PC that can allow executable content from inside a folder to be executed automatically. There is no patch. So it might be time now to move to Firefox. If you were listening to the morning show here on Wham earlier in the week, you heard me talking about didtheyreadit.com. There's a new site on the net that you can sign up for, and it lets anybody secretly track the emails they send. You'll see whether or not someone opened your email, how long the recipient keeps it open, even where geographically the recipient is reading it. So you can get a message basically that says, thanks for reading my email message for 12 minutes in Rochester, New York.
We've been fighting for years to remove return receipts from email.
Yep.
The Internet is already full. We don't need every email message sending back a return receipt.
Well, for those of you who are thinking, what a great thing this is, I've got to get it. You need to know that in the privacy policy that you agree to when you sign up for DidTheyReadIt.com, you expressly agree to receive offers and promotions from third-party marketing partners of the company that sent them out, and that the company may share your registration information. Ain't no such thing as a free lunch, folks. And if you sign up for this, you're just opening yourself up to more stuff. So I would suggest you not do that. Here's a really interesting one. There seems to be an indefensible flaw in Wi-Fi. In the 802.11b network protocol, two different security organizations have issued alerts warning of this flaw that leaves the devices vulnerable to a denial-of-service jamming attack. Now, they can't get into your system, they can't damage it in any way, but they can, in fact, stop you from using your network connection.
That's been available for 100 years, radio jammers.
Well, exactly. There are no mitigation technologies or strategies available to rectify the fundamental problem in the 802.11b direct sequence spread spectrum modulation scheme. Basically, what they're saying is 802.11b can't be fixed. 11a can and is different, and 802.11g is different. But
any radio signal can be jammed.
Any radio signal.
Your cell phone, your portable phone at home, your radio.
TV.
I drive into the garage downstairs and I lose the station.
Yep.
There's too much concrete between me and the
transmitter. So you do want to be careful about that. And before we move on, I have to read this quote. Yesterday gave us Steve Ballmer, the CEO of Microsoft Corporation. You may have heard of him. Gave there was a forum this week, the Microsoft Government Leaders Forum, Americas 2004. During his closing speech, he said, and I quote, "I guarantee you our company will have the most secure software in the world. We may also have the most popular, so it is the most attacked. We're learning from all these attacks. Some days the only thing I can be happy with on the security front is that we're getting smarter fast." I don't even think I even need to comment on that, do I?
No.
No, I don't think I do.
Don't even want to try.
For those of you who are interested in following security, I've been keeping tabs of them on the Security Tango website at securitytango.com. One of the choices, one of the links that you can go to is Security News. And you will see the latest news as it gets updated throughout the day. Just refresh your browser.
Did that new link take them to that new link?
Okay. I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
That's off of our page. We need
to say. Oh, I don't remember which one it goes to. I'll fix that. Yeah. I will fix that. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Mina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Blast. They would rather do their show in a chat room. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this
is what?
This is Soundbites. And we're going to go to your phone calls. That's right, you people out there listening. We're going to your phone calls right now, and we're going to start with Donna. From Henrietta. Welcome, Donna. What's your question?
Hi. I have lots of questions.
Okay. Let's take one or two now.
I'm a relatively new Mac user. I have an iBook OS 10. I have not found that person that can help me with a lot of questions. You mentioned last Saturday an Apple Cider group that had beginner's classes, and it was too late for me to get to them.
Mm-hmm.
Will that be held again, or how can I get some more information?
The beginner's classes are on hiatus through the summer.
Okay.
They'll be held again in September.
Okay.
Our regular meeting is the second Wednesday of the month at East High School.
At East High School?
Yeah. Our website is applecider.org.
Okay.
And actually, our next meeting in June is going to be our annual picnic. We have a picnic every year, and that's going to be at Brighton Town Park on Westfall Road.
Okay.
So we that's a good time to come and meet people.
Good time to come and meet people, yep.
Okay.
But we have a Q&A session, presentations. Last month our presentation was on music. I had a professor in from the Eastman School. I graduated from Eastman School.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a great place to meet people and get more questions answered.
Okay. I sent an email message on your Apple Cider group site.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was to Steve. I'm not sure. I was under contacts.
Okay.
I've not heard back from that. Might I hear from that with more information or no?
You should, yeah.
Okay.
You also can, we have forums on the Apple Cider site where you can post questions and get answers almost immediately.
Okay.
Usually within a day or two. There's three or four of us that
I didn't understand how that works, so I didn't want to get into it. I wasn't sure what it was about.
It's like a giant bulletin board. You tack your question to the bulletin board, someone comes along and reads it and tacks an answer up.
Oh, okay.
We used to call them bulletin boards in the early days.
Yeah, back in the old days.
Somewhere along the way, it changed to forums.
Yeah, right.
No one remembers what a bulletin board is
anymore.
Well,
nobody wanted it because
there
was a while when they were both active, and you didn't want to confuse the two.
Yeah, BBS is in.
Okay, now information on your picnic I can get over applecider.org then?
Yep.
Okay, what time is that at?
I can remember now.
Well, it doesn't matter.
It's, we're setting up at 4, we're eating at 6.
Okay.
That's a long setup.
Well, we want to make sure we get everything set up.
And
it's an indoor, it's an indoor pavilion. So rain or shine, we're there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lake and ducks and things for the kids.
Well, it's an outdoor pavilion, but you'll
shouldn't
be inside it.
True.
The date, the time on there.
Yeah, we haven't updated our website with the actual day. So
okay.
If anyone has a calendar, quick and tell me what the second Wednesday in June is.
I can tell you. 12th or 13th. Second Wednesday in June is June 9th.
June 9th.
Okay.
So it's early.
Very good. The other question is, you just mentioned a virus on Mac, and you said go to System Preferences and uncheck to download something, which I didn't get.
In your Safari preferences, you want to uncheck the open safe files.
Open safe files.
Because they aren't safe anymore.
Okay.
What that means you'll have to do is when you download a file, you'll have to find it and decompress it and install it manually. This was a convenience for, especially for novice users, that when you download something from the internet, it automatically installs itself.
Uh-huh.
The problem there is that someone could take advantage of that and automatically install a virus.
Okay, and will it explain to me how to do that? I'm very hesitant to download these things because I don't know what I'm doing with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you go to the software update system preference,
okay.
It will download all of the system updates for you.
Okay.
And install them where they need to go, and also install the patch for Safari to prevent this exploit from being used.
Is it okay to just click all those little blocks there to check all those things?
Pretty much. The system will check the ones for you that it thinks you need the most.
Okay.
So you can just download those to start with and then run it again and see if any more get checked.
Okay.
Okie doke.
All right, fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Donna. It's tough to be a new user. You just you have so many beginner questions. You don't
and
you
things
don't
are
know
so
what
much
to
more
do.
Complex now.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what's so lovely about the beginner's SIG. It's too bad it cuts out over the summer, but I understand, you know, people have lives and stuff.
Yeah.
The other thing is that's important, I think, is and I'm sure you get that in the users in the beginners group. Things like how do I use the forum?
Right. It used to be a beginner's question in the beginner's groups where, you know, I want to type a letter to my mother.
Yeah. Right.
Now it's I want to send email to my mother who lives in a different country and attach a picture to it and see the website she put up with her pictures and run the flash animation.
Right, exactly. Beginners have started, you know, keep saying the price of poker keeps going up. You start farther down the line, but you still have all those questions. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes. With Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180. The Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Yes, it's true. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We're going to go all the way down to a hilltop, high above a hilltop in Pennsylvania, is Dave. Welcome, Dave. What's your question today?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You guys certainly have my number down here.
Yes, we do.
Hey, how
you have
Dave?
Our number up here.
Yes, I do. Well, you know, from this hilltop, I can actually see up into Corning. Now, that's not that far from where you are.
No, not compared to where you are, no.
I'm trying to push back the frontiers of my own ignorance here today, guys. And
good for you.
This one has gotten me pretty well baffled, so I'm just going to throw it on you if I could. Windows 2000 Pro apparently has a software RAID feature.
Yes.
I've read about this for use with IDE drives.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right.
I don't think I would need a lot of help with that. So here's my question. Can this same feature be invoked and used to good effect with a chain of SCSI, a chain of SCSI RAID drives?
It's not as effective, no. SCSI really... you're better off if you've got a SCSI chain using a RAID controller.
RAID controller.
Yeah, it's way better. I've got, in fact, Dave's bringing me a couple of drives that are going to, I'm going to do software RAID. I'm just going to mirror one to the other, and that'll be my document directory, and then if one drive dies, I've got this stuff on the other document.
I should have said my focus is not in that area. I'm focusing more on RAID 0. I'm looking for speed.
Oh, striping. You want to do
striping. It should be okay for striping, but...
If your IDEs are on separate chains.
Right.
How about SCSI?
Well, he's talking about SCSI.
Well, but, SCSI is asynchronous, though, isn't it? So every drive can operate independently.
Right. That's why you really want hardware RAID.
Well, hardware's better, but the software should work, too.
Yes, it should. That's what I said. It should. You just
but again,
there was. There
but
was
then you're kind of defeating the purpose. Again, you're having software do something hardware should do, and you're going to lose maybe not a heck of a lot, but you're going to lose some performance, especially if he's trying to pick up speed by doing striping.
LaCie has a product out called the Bigger Disk that has four IDE drives in one case, and it shows up as a 1 terabyte hard drive. It's not RAID. What it does is when the first drive is full, it starts using the second drive, and then the third, then the fourth. But your computer sees it as a 1 terabyte volume.
Right. But in this particular case, Dave, you can certainly do that, as far as I know. It's just, if you should check your RAID controller and see if it does hardware RAID now.
I don't have a RAID controller.
You just have a regular controller, a regular SCSI controller.
We're running this is kind of a low-budget operation. This is the hills of Pennsylvania, guys. We're not the sophisticated operators over there in Rochester.
I forgot, you hooked the things up to a cow at some point.
Well, now, come on now. Stay away from that, please. But let me just tell you what I've already done. Let me tell you where my failure was. I'm looking beyond trying to get better here. I've already failed pretty badly. I went out and spent what is for me big money on an LVD SCSI controller, not RAID, just a straight SCSI, and hooked it up to an LVD drive, and I got no performance improvement. And actually, the SCSI was better than IDE drives, but I got no marginal improvement when I went up to the supposedly I think it's 80 mega.
How fast is your machine?
Okay, I'm working with a 500 megahertz, guys. That's what there is, and
that's most I
can have. 128 megs.
That's another part of the problem. And what's the cache on the SCSI controller?
It's an Adaptec. I didn't even know there was a cache on it.
Yeah,
that could be a problem if there isn't any.
Yeah,
and that could be the third part of the problem. The problem is that if there's no cache on the controller card, it's going to use cache in your RAM. Guess what? You've only got 128 meg.
Right.
I suspect you'll see a fairly decent improvement by adding more RAM.
Okay, that's kind of tough to do, but I can look at that. Okay, so on the bottom line on the use of Windows 2000 Pro with its software. RAID, should I try it, or is it just not worth my time?
It's not going to do you a lot of good, considering the amount of RAM you have and the speed of your machine at this point.
Gotcha. That's what I needed to know, guys.
There you go.
I appreciate your help.
Thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye.
I hate to tell him that. The RAID is quite useful for various things, but in terms of speed, I don't think that's going to do it for him.
I mean, 128 meg, he said he was running Windows 2000.
That's not even enough for Windows.
Right, and that's the problem. You really want a minimum of 256 for Windows 2000, and he's running low there, plus he's trying to do all the buffering and stuff.
And that's just draining his resources and dragging it to its knees, so even though he's trying to accomplish something that'll improve performance, he's kind of going backwards.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
It's too bad.
Price of poker keeps going up.
We keep saying it keeps being true.
Yep.
It's a sad thing, but that's the way the world works. It's just not like it used to be, you know? It used to be if you had that 64K machine, you had everything you needed plus. But it's getting to the point where you've got no leeway anymore. And I have to blame the major hardware manufacturers who will sell you a machine with 128 meg and tell you that's enough.
Well, because that's what Windows says it needs as a minimum.
Right, and that is the minimum. That will
Windows needs. Pop. If you want to run anything else on top of Windows.
Or you want to do something a little exotic like RAID 0 in software. You just don't have enough stuff. Listen, we're going to take another break, but we're going to be back on the other side of the news with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Master Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
At home. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
That would be Master Rob. Yes, Master.
Minor in pottery?
Yeah. Minor in pottery. They didn't offer basket weaving. What are you going to do? We're going to go back to the phones in just a couple of minutes. Before we do, I'd like to talk about our weekly poll. We have a very interesting poll this week. Last week's poll, I realized that at some point that everybody's waiting for something. And I wanted to know what you're waiting for. 103 of you voted. 238 of you voted it, making it number 103 on the all-time hit list. I want to thank each and every one of you.
Individually and alphabetically.
And alphabetically, starting with A, Abrams. I'd like to, what you're waiting for, the poll was about, the choices were XP Service, Windows XP Service Pack 2, Longhorn, Kernel 2.8 for you Windows folks, Steve Jobs to sell me something insanely great again, and other, please leave an opinion. The big winner, everybody's waiting for XP Service Pack 2, followed by other, followed by Longhorn, followed by Steve Jobs, followed by Kernel 2.8. And I think the reason nobody's waiting for Kernel 2.8 is because 2.6 just came out, and some people are actually still waiting for that. Mm. This week's poll is kind of interesting. We've been on the air now, and we started originally on Sunday.
December 1st.
Uh-huh. We started on a Sunday.
Back
15 years ago almost.
Yeah.
And moved to Saturday. Then we came here on a Saturday. But the reality is that Saturday is a tough day because there are so many sports on. And I was figuring out over the last year and what it looks like next year's schedule is going to be from where I can find the schedules.
With SU
and almost half of our year, what with football and basketball and hockey and soccer and tiddlywinks and everything else, it looks like almost half the year is we're going to be moved around somewhere. And that's not fair to you, and it's really not fair to us either. So my question is, when should we be on the air? Now, obviously, some of these choices are not all that viable. If a weeknight, you know, the reality is that we're not going to be bumping like Michael Savage or whatever's on the air to do a weeknight.
Right.
But the idea is, what are you guys watching? They're all watching something important in the news.
No, I'm listening to you.
Okay.
Rob's channel surfing.
Rob's channel surfing for something.
Apparently
important.
We're not that interesting.
Yeah. Well, his brain is better than ours. He's got a master's degree now, and his brain is stronger and better. And he can multitask this way.
Watching that wheel go round and round.
Right. He's got two hamsters in there now. So the question is, if we were to move, what would make you folks happy? Now, again, like I said, a lot of it has to do with what the schedule is. But the choices are Saturday morning, Saturday evening, Saturday a.m., Saturday p.m., Sunday a.m., Sunday p.m., a weeknight, and who cares? I've got the lottery. The lottery? Who cares? If I win the lottery, who cares to all of you? That's, what is it, 50-some-odd million right now. Maybe if I buy a ticket, I got a better chance. Anyway, so far 102 of you have voted. Saturday a.m. Is winning, which will put us on earlier than we are now. Saturday p.m., which is when we're on now, gets next, followed by Sunday morning, followed by Who Cares? I've Got the Archives, followed by Sunday night, followed by a weeknight. So please vote, and after you've voted, please go over to my website, AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. Thank you. And leave your opinion. So far, 19 of you have left an opinion, and I have to say this may be some kind of record. Almost all of them actually have something to do with the poll itself. I'm astounded. That's never happened. Usually it wanders off somewhere.
Yep.
And people, you know, don't care. I was kind of thinking maybe I should take it down because it doesn't matter. Nobody actually leaves an opinion about the poll. But this week, the opinions are about the poll. I'm kind of impressed by that. The majority here seems to say, you know, a consistent time slot is best. It doesn't really matter where you are as long as you're consistently there every week. And the reality is I think that's probably true, too. So one of the things we might look at, and nothing is carved in stone right now, so don't get all excited about it.
The only thing carved in stone is that sports will be on. And
yes.
Right. And we will be on.
And like on, SU football. I mean, once we get into the SU football team, and, you know, folks got to think about us, too. You know, we bounce all over. One week we might be on at 3 o'clock for an hour. Sometimes we come in at 5. You know, it just goes all over the board, and it's also depending on when the post game finishes.
Right.
So we could be on for an hour, but then it gets shortened to 40 minutes because the post game ran over.
Well, and I'm not, you know, I'm not a sports fan, so the post game makes me crazy because they just recap what you just saw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like every sports fan has ADD. You know, they have to redo it all over again just in case you weren't paying attention.
Well, that's what the instant replay is. Here's a play you just saw a second ago.
Right. Right. And now here it is in slow motion. Here it is in backwards.
Reverse angle.
Is, right. Yeah. Here's the reverse angle. At some point, you got to think to yourself, we're a little too anal retentive.
That's why a 60-minute game takes 4 hours.
Right. But the reality is, if you would be kind enough to vote in the poll, everybody this time. I know, we get fewer and fewer people. We get more people. It depends on what's going on. But I'd like to get everybody's real serious opinion on this. Because you know what? If you don't vote, you can't complain. So please give
I've
us
heard
your
that
vote.
Somewhere before.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And folks, that's true this year as much as any time. If you didn't vote, come November, if you don't vote, don't complain. Because exactly. If you're not going to play the game, you got nothing to say about the way it comes out.
There you go.
You had something you wanted to say?
Yeah. Well, as you folks know, we've got a little contest going with the person that finds the
contest is a big way to put that. It's not like there's going to be a prize.
Yeah, there is. We'll figure out something.
Your name in electrons.
No, we'll figure out something. We've got this kind of going from now until hopefully Labor Day weekend. And it's, with all the folks that listen to us. And basically what it is we challenge your folks to see who can find the most spyware on their machines. And we now have a new leader. As of May 20th, Marty Van Duzer.
Yay.
But here's the thing,
why
though.
Are we clapping?
He built a computer
thing
for a friend of his
many.
Wife's.
Yeah, they all say that.
Yeah. And she called and said she was having some trouble, it was getting really sluggish and everything else. He says, yeah, bring it on over. I'll take a look at it. Well, he did. He used Spy Sweeper, and I've got a copy of the screensaver, the screenshot, so I know it's valid. And he found, and this is really extraordinary, 3,405 is the magic number you folks have to beat now.
And I bet there are people out there who can do it.
Well, we got to maybe if we can post that number, a current spyware winner total.
Oh, that's an idea.
And because right now the current total is 3,405. Before we had 1,400, and I think it was 68.
We doubled our last
he
total.
He over doubled this in finding this one. One of the other things that I found, and I just want to put a quick plug in here, if you go over to our website, soundbites.org, and go to Dave's Tips, I found this neat little program. You know how you have Gator. And Gator's got a lot of spyware and other things that it pops up ads and everything else. Well, there's a new one now. It's called RoboForm. And if you go to Dave's Tips, I've put in for... And what RoboForm does is allow you to automatically fill out forms on a screen. It is very secure in that it will not, load your machine up with any spyware or anything else. It's got an encryption, so you can change passwords. It's very secure, and it's free. So you can, check it out. Again, I put a link there or the web address at the bottom of the tip to, link it there, try it out, and let me know what you think of it. I'd be interested to see what you think about this. But I happened to find this one. I thought, Gator, used to be great. But like anything else, they wound up getting a lot of spyware and ads and pop-ups.
I still see a lot of people that run the Gator time server to synchronize your clock, which is a neat function. It just puts in all the spyware behind it.
Yeah, you're right. This is great for online shopping, job hunters, and great freebie faster for filling out forms for sweepstakes and all that.
Wow.
But it won't, pass out, any of your encrypted, more or less encryption.
That's nice. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, all of you on Soundbites 1180 WHAM.
Four. 50,000 watts. Huh. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Back to the phones. We're talking to Ted from Geneseo, New York. Welcome, Ted. What's your question?
Hey, Nick. How are you today?
Peachy. How are you?
Not too bad. I got two computers that I have networked together using a crossover cable.
Yep.
And I have dial-up internet.
Yep.
When I first did this, the client computer, I was able to connect to the internet, no problem, you know. And
with both machines?
With both machines, yeah. Both machines were connected at the same time. And the speed on the client computer was reasonable, okay. Now, all of a sudden, in the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 days, it just dropped that right down to I could probably walk to the website before it actually downloaded.
How's the speed on the master machine?
On the server, it's fine. It just seems to be the client computer for some reason. Just all of a sudden, just slowed right down.
And is that the only thing you do to access those two computers? I mean, that's the only access you have between them. You don't share files or any of that sort of thing.
No.
So you don't have any baseline. I was going to suggest that if you knew how fast it would transfer a big file, if you could try transferring a big file, that would tell you now whether the problem is in the actual dial-up portion or if the problem was in that cable.
Oh, okay.
You know, if the cable's getting old or it's got, you know, if you've got animals that might have chewed on it or stepped on it or, you know, whatever, it's very possible that the thing got a little frayed or, you know, that there's noise on the line or it's just, you know, whatever.
Right.
And that would certainly cause it to slow down.
Right. You also might want to do a spyware and virus check, although if anything
on both machines.
Yeah, if anything got into the second one, you'd think it would have got the first one, too.
Yeah, I've done that.
Not necessarily, not always.
I've done that on both of them, just, you know, just to make sure.
And you're running antivirus on both?
Yeah, McAfee.
I would check, and this is with an Ethernet card.
Right.
What else has changed in that second machine, or in the first machine? Over the last few days?
Nothing that I can think of, you know.
You didn't add software or change,
anything.
So that it can't be a driver issue?
In fact, on the client computer, I took everything out of it that was in it, except for Windows XP. They're both running Windows XP.
Right.
And it didn't make any difference. I thought maybe that was it, too.
Well, but at this point, if there's something wrong, then, you know, if something has changed. I've got a couple of suggestions. You have no baseline.
Yeah.
First, I would suggest replacing the cable.
Right.
And see if that does it. And then secondly, I would do, again, run the whole security tango and see what happens on both of those machines.
Right.
Let's start there and let us know what happens.
Okay.
Okie doke?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. This may be a longer one to diagnose. I'm not entirely certain how that's going to work. Are you giving me a commando, master, or were you just
scratching,
drying your nails, doing something? Okay, I get it. I didn't know what he was doing. He was making some odd gestures over there, and none of them were rude or, you know, Italian street gestures. Oh, his thing came up. Our next caller is...
Put it back in.
our next... we call it an IFB for the inner ear device. I don't know what does IFB stand for? I don't know. It's the little thing you put in your ear. Yeah. We're just way past it. Our next caller is Scott from Geneva.
TMI.
I had so many things that I can't say on the air. Our next caller is Scott from Geneva. Welcome, Scott. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
I'm working on a friend's computer, and I thought I'd be a good runner-up for the spyware count.
Uh-huh.
I had up to 1,500 pieces of spyware.
Wow, that's a pretty decent number.
Did you do a screen capture of it?
Yeah, I did.
All right, send it to me.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how many prizes I'll be, you know, I got to talk to the boss and see what we can wangle out of it between now and Labor Day weekend, because that's when we celebrate our 15th year of being on the air, the longest running computer show in the world.
And the best.
It's a good show.
There is none.
Thank you.
Essentially what I'm running into with this PC, it's a 98 PC. I'd like to say that it was an ME just to get Dave's reaction because I always love to hear that.
Oh, I've come up with, just to interrupt you here for a second, Scott, but I've come up with a good idea.
Here's
a good guys,
idea.
What we're going to do with the ME disc, that when we have our get-together for our 15 years, if you bring me your ME disc, we're going to give you something very special.
And we're just going to leave it there for now because we don't know what it's going to be. No, Dave does know.
Yeah, I do know. I've come up with an idea. It's my revenge back on Gates for using ME.
Anyway, what's your story here, Scott?
Okay, essentially what I did is I did the whole security tango, updated everything, ran all the scans in safe mode to make sure that I could get everything out of there as best as I could. I ran scan disk and all these tests, and the PC is running pretty good so far, except for when I try to view any folders or open up Windows Explorer, not Internet Explorer, I keep getting a exception fault in some module, and I haven't really been able to find anything on the Internet to help me take care of it. I ran System File Checker and
what's the module?
Restore Explorer.
What's the module? Yeah.
The module is RegSVRAC32.dll.
Reg server.
RegSVR what? AC?
AC. Adam Cat.
Right, .dll?
32.dll, yeah.
And that's the one that's causing you the trouble.
Right. I mean, if I have this pop-up, I can still go in and poke around and look at the folders, but if I hit the close button on the pop-up, everything just disappears. I don't get the blue screen of death, but I can no longer look into folders or explore any of the drives.
Right. We may have some bad news for you here. It looks
probably
like,
reload.
It looks like that's. We're wondering if that's not a spyware problem. Yeah.
Have you run SpyBot and did the updates?
Yep, I did SpyBot. I did.
But you
AdAware.
Also had a check for updates?
Yes, I did the updates on all of them.
Great.
And I even tried a few other spyware things that they had. They had I ran Hijack Vit.
Yes, sure. Yeah.
And I also used remove CW Shredder.
Yeah, CW Shredder, absolutely.
And you know, got all the updates for those and I'm still kind of struggling with it.
Hmm.
We're looking up a couple things here.
CW Shredder and SpyBot are supposed to take care of it.
Right.
While
you're looking, coincidentally, I'm installing Red Hat Fedora on one of my PCs while I was listening to your show.
Good.
And I got up to the three last packets of the third disk, and I got a terminating signal.
Is that the test three? Did you run the MD5 check against it?
No, I didn't.
Sounds like you got a bad download.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, it sounds like you've got a virus. Everything I found on the net says that it's a virus. And
okay.
I don't quite know what to tell you about how to get rid of it if you haven't found it already.
I installed AVG and got the updates for that and ran it in safe mode, and then I also used Norton's antivirus, updated that, ran that in safe mode, and they're not finding any more viruses.
How about
on the
Stinger?
Wait a minute. You said you're running this in safe mode? I mean, your Windows XP?
No, 98.
Oh, 98.
And you ran AdAware in deep scan mode.
Yes.
And you ran CW Shredder.
Yes.
Man, you know what? I'm declued. Do me a favor and send us an email to the website.
Yep.
And we'll take a look at this and try to solve it. But at the moment, I don't really know what to tell you because those are all the things I would have suggested to fix this.
Yeah.
Okay, I can make a screen capture or something.
Yeah, please.
Email it to us.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
We'll try to figure out what the story is.
All right. Thanks, guys. I love your show, and I really appreciate the archives.
Thank you. And join us in the forums, because post your problem in the forums. We may find somebody who can deal with it there.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Our next caller, Doug from York, New York.
Hello.
Hi, Doug. What's your question?
Well, I had one when I called, and I went to boot up my other computer while I was waiting, and it didn't want to boot up, so I think I have something else that's more urgent than my first question.
Ah, well, where do you get in the boot up process? Well, first, what operating system are you running?
XP.
Uh-huh.
I installed XP over 98 on a Dell computer, had a 667 gigahertz or megahertz processor.
Mm-hmm.
It's got 128 of RAM, I think, which is a little low.
Very low.
But it had been running fine until just today. Went to start it, and it just kind of went, just froze in the middle of booting up.
Froze at what point?
With the XP screen with the little green bars going across in the center of the screen, the little dots going across.
Yeah.
And so I shut it off. I had to push the off button to shut it off.
Yep.
When I started it back up, it said, do you want to go back to a previous good spot? Tried that. It still wouldn't go anywhere. So I had to shut it off again. Came back. I put it into safe mode.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the point now where it says Windows is running in safe mode. To proceed in safe mode, click yes, or if you want a system restore. So I figured since I got to this point, I'd wait till I got a hold of you to say, what do you think?
Well, if it runs in safe mode, you've got one of several problems.
Something's corrupted somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. First thing I would suggest you do is take a look at the hardware stuff. If you right click on my computer.
Okay. Just a sec. I just popped it to there.
Right click on my computer. Select properties. Select the hardware tab. And select Device Manager.
Hardware, Device Manager.
Okay, what that'll do is bring up a list of all the devices in your system. Look to see if any of them have a red or yellow icon next to them. That'll tell you you've got a problem with that particular device.
Nope, nothing there.
Okay, if it's not that, then it could very well be a virus that's corrupted something.
Okay.
So you've got two things you can do. First, you've got to dance the tango.
Okay. I've done that routinely. I haven't done it yet because this just happened, but I am running Norton antivirus and updated automatically.
Right.
Each time I boot, so I check for updates each time I boot.
Right. It's the whole tango. Stinger, okay. Your antivirus, AdAware. Go to securitytango.com.
Right. I have all of those here because I've run them.
Well,
all.
Do them in the right order, because if something has corrupted your antivirus software, you need to run Stinger first.
Okay.
And you got to run the newest version of Stinger, so download it.
Okay.
That's the second thing I would try. The third thing I would try. Let's try those two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Try those two, because the third thing would require a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And what it basically involves is a more thorough check of your system for a virus that's hidden from everything else.
What about,
and you could also do the system file. I'm sorry.
What about SFC?
Go ahead.
If you go to the command,
system file checker. I was just going to say
it. System file checker.
System file checker on start run SFC. That will run the system file checker.
You got it. Windows 98 will do that. If you're running XP, though,
and what that'll do is let you replace any corrupted file, but you want to run that last because you want to make sure that it's not a virus that's just going to re-corrupt things.
Okay.
So do all that other stuff first, and then run SFC.
Okay, so start run SFC.
You got it?
Okay, but
okey-doke.
Now my original question, if you have a moment, I've gotten used to using the National Weather Service Doppler radars.
Yeah.
And I built a computer back around Christmas time and installed XP Home on it. It's an AMD 2600. I got 512 of RAM. For some reason or other, it no longer likes to do the loop, which it says Java must be enabled for the radar loops to display. I did re-download Java. I checked. It says recent service pack upgrades might have disabled the Java plugin required to view the radar loops. So I did get that again. I went in, and I think Java's enabled from what I can tell.
Did you reinstall Java?
Yes.
Did you uninstall it before you reinstalled it?
No.
What are you using for a web browser?
Still using Internet Explorer.
Try this. Uninstall Java.
Okay.
Reinstall Java. And install Firefox.
Reinstall, and then Firefox?
Then Firefox, which you can get from Mozilla.org.
Okay.
It's their next generation browser. And run that and see if it in fact works, because it could be that an update to Internet Explorer is causing it to ignore the Java VM.
Okay.
So try that first.
Now, I've got the XP Home on both of these computers.
Yeah.
And it actually works on the other one, but not on my new one.
Yeah.
And they're both updated.
Yeah, but that's one of the problems. That's one of the problems with updates. Two people can download the exact same updates, and it works two different ways on two different machines.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the problems that we have every time somebody updates.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your help. I appreciate your program.
Thank you.
You do a great job.
I appreciate hearing that. Thanks. Our next caller is Mike from Gates, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
I have MSN.com as my homepage.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, it gets changed by itself to MSN.com with a pro searching added to it. Have you ever heard of pro searching?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a virus. That's actually spyware. What antivirus program are you running?
Norton.
Is it up to date?
Yes.
In other words, you have the latest DAT files.
Pardon?
When you go into it, and you know, you can, when you first click on Norton, it brings you that front screen.
Right.
And it'll tell you how old your DAT files are. Have you checked the date on that to make sure that it's not more than 7 days?
Hold on.
I wouldn't say more than 2 days.
Virus definitions?
Yeah.
May 19th.
Okay, you're good.
That's
there.
That's good. I would suggest here, once again, I have to suggest you dance the security tango. It may well be that you've got one of those viruses that actually disables your antivirus. It looks like
it's
still working.
Well, the other day it was disabled by itself, but...
See?
And then I got it back on.
Yeah, but just because it says it's on doesn't mean it's really on.
Oh, really?
That's the point behind these disablers.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to go to securitytango.com, click the Let's Dance button, and start right at the top with a brand new copy of Stinger that you download.
So I don't even have Stinger right now. All I have is AdAware.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You go to the Security Tango site, and there are links to all of those things.
Yeah, Stinger will find and remove the most vicious viruses that turn off your own antivirus software.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to stinger.com.
It'll take you to all
securitytango.com.
Securitytango.com.
There's
right.
a Let's Dance button, and that it provides links to all the things you need to run the Security Tango.
Right.
Start right at the top of the page. Don't skip any steps. Go right to the bottom.
And then.
And that should solve the problem and get rid of ProSearch for you.
See, it's gone now. I mean, it comes and goes. Like
exactly, but that's because it's hiding somewhere on your system.
And there's no way of deleting it
without dancing the tango.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes. With Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of your calls on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Paul Harvey, three times. This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. From PCs to Macs, these guys can help with any computer question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Our next caller, Marianne from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Marianne. What's your question?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I have a problem with my mouse. Just happened. It seems to be stuck over on the right-hand side beyond the screen. Like, I can see it. I can see the edge of it, and I can move it up and down, but I can't move it over to the desktop.
Is it a ball mouse?
Yes.
Have you turned it, if you turn it upside down,
uh-huh.
And the little there's a little center thing that you can turn a little bit and pop the mouse out, the mouse ball out.
It's the ring around the mouse ball. It's called the retaining ring. It's what holds it in.
Right, I see it.
Okay, now if you see in there, you'll see a couple rollers.
Uh-huh.
Usually two or three.
Yeah, and sometimes, quite often, they can get gummed up. You'll see, like, extra debris caking up the rollers.
Uh-huh.
And if
particularly if you have cats and dogs like I do.
I don't.
Well, just, you know, over time, they can run it over that mouse pad and that pick up other debris.
Uh-huh.
And you'll see a buildup on those rollers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can use, like, alcohol on a cotton swab and clean those rollers up.
Okay.
Isopropyl alcohol, just a little bit of that.
And if, depending on how caked it is, you might have to scrape pretty hard.
Yeah, I've even had to go in there with
beforehand, unplug it from your computer while you're putting liquids in it.
Yeah,
right. Turn it off. Turn the whole machine off.
Uh-huh.
But you can sit there, and you might even have to use a small, like, steak knife or something else to very carefully loosen some of that up, because I've seen it build up really bad.
Oh.
And, you know, it'll go fine one way, but it won't go the other way because it's all gunked up.
Yeah, there's two major rollers, one for vertical, one for horizontal, and then the third one usually supports the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have to clean all three.
So check those out. Otherwise, you might want to try another mouse just to see if it's there.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right, I'll give that a try.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Marianne.
You're welcome.
It's nice to get an easy one every once in a while.
Once in a while, yeah.
That's why a lot of people are moving to optical mice, because the balls don't gunk up.
Right.
And especially in schools where the balls don't get stolen.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
There aren't any.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Our next caller is Mark from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
Hi there. Thanks. I'm running Windows XP, and I have a Pavilion N5425. My problem is that when I go to run disk cleanup, it starts, runs for a few minutes, and then just locks up when it's maybe about, a quarter of the way across the bar.
Do you are you the type of person that puts a lot of programs on, takes a lot of stuff off, yada, yada, yada?
Not really. I'm not too much into, you know, downloading tons of information.
Then I wouldn't worry about that desk cleanup. I find it very annoying because it wants to sit there and say, well, you haven't used this program in a little while. I want to get rid of it for you.
Or no, I think you said disk cleanup, where it empties your trash, empties temporary
Same
files.
Same with the desktop cleanup.
Yeah.
They're both, you know, little utilities that Microsoft thinks, you know.
Well, at any rate here, Mark, part of the problem, I think, is if you're running are you running a defrag?
Pardon?
No, that's a defrag.
Are you running a defrag
or
at this point?
Let's see. I do have a defrag. I mean, I've run it before.
Yeah, that's not what you're running right now,
though. No.
No,
it's just the Windows cleanup, which deletes your
temporary internet
right,
files.
Empties recycles in, deletes the temp files, deletes the cache files. It there must be something stuck in your cache that it can't delete. Have you tried running it in safe mode? I don't know if it will run in safe mode, but that's something to try.
Okay, and how would I do that?
What operating system did you say?
XP.
XP.
When you reboot the computer, does the control work in XP?
I keep telling folks use F8.
Use the F8, yeah. There's a timing issue. After the system starts counting up memory, but before the Windows logo comes up, you have to start banging away at the F8 key.
Okay.
And eventually a text menu will come up.
Option 3.
If the Windows logo comes up, you missed.
Yeah, right.
So you want to look for option 3, which is safe mode.
Okay.
And that runs Windows in a very, very basic configuration. Your desktop picture is going to be cruddy. The screen resolution is going to be bad. But it runs it in a very basic VGA mode with no extra software running, no utilities running, you know, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can run things like your antivirus to make sure there's no viruses in, your anti-spyware.
Okay.
And this disk cleanup. If something is in the cache file that's in use at the moment, it won't be able to remove it.
Mm-hmm.
So safe mode will stop everything from using anything.
Okie doke.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Mark. We're going to take another break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Hi there, I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. You know what? I keep losing...
Let's listen to that song for a minute.
I just keep losing the...
thing.
the hello, hi, how are you? It's the webcam. It keeps cutting in and out. I don't quite know why. Our next caller is Paul from Pittsburgh, New York. Welcome, Paul. What's your question?
Hi. Thanks for the program, Nick and boys. I got a Xerox M940 multifunction thing they don't even make anymore. And my broke, and they sent me a new one, and I've been installing. Now I got a situation where I can't uninstall it. And I had one on the web to download a driver for XP.
Yeah.
And it's coming up saying the file x940k.dll on Xerox WorkCenter is needed, and I can't get to it. I also can't install. It's got a red X through the uninstall.
Right. When you try to install it, you downloaded the file.
Yeah.
And that file ends in .exe.
Yeah.
And you ran it.
Yeah.
And it created a folder with a bunch of other files in it.
Right.
And when you tried to install it, what did you do next?
Well, it says it installed all the software, then I shut it down and then hooked the cables up and the power on.
No, hold on.
Yeah?
So far, you've double-clicked on the file and it created a folder with a bunch of files in it.
Yeah.
What did you do next?
It shut the computer down. It's part of their install process.
Okay, then what you did next after it created that folder was you went in and double-clicked on one of the files in there.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just making sure we are on the same page here.
Yeah.
So you double-clicked on one of those files. It said it installed it and it wanted to reboot.
No. When I double-clicked on the install file that I downloaded,
right?
It installed the drivers for XP. And it went to the CD-ROM and pulled off whatever the Xerox Control Center stuff is.
Right.
Pages and Quick Link 3 and whatever. All right. Then when it got done with all that, it shuts down the system.
Right.
Then it tells you to plug in your parallel cable and plug in your power.
Right.
And boot your system up.
Right.
So I did that, and it came up and said it can't find this DLL file.
And what's the DLL?
It's x940k.dll. So I figured if I uninstalled the whole darn thing and started over, because I was having USB trouble, that's why I went to the parallel,
right,
that I could reinstall it using the downloaded installer and drivers and bring it up. The problem is I can't even uninstall it because it's got a red X through the installer on the CD-ROM.
You might need to go to the Xerox website and look for a manual uninstall instruction where it tells you delete this file, etc.
Or maybe you can't undelete it because it never got installed.
Well, I got a hunch that maybe I deleted a shared file somewhere along the way that it needs.
Yeah. But that file should be in that folder you created. When you downloaded and double-clicked and it created a folder?
The 940K, I see what you're saying. Do a search on it and find it.
Exactly.
And then see if I can point it to it.
Exactly.
Yeah, we could try that.
Try that. Let us know.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys. You do a great job.
Thank you very much. Our next caller, Glenn from Hilton, New York. Welcome, Glenn. What's your question?
Yeah, good afternoon. I enjoy and appreciate your show.
Thank you.
I've got two computers. One's 2 years old and the other's about 6 years old, and I was just interested in if it makes sense to look to upgrade the BIOS in those, and if that's something you can get for free or if you have to buy it.
Almost never for free. Yeah.
Well, sometimes there's a flash that will do a minor update.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Usually, the usual reason you want to update your BIOS is to support more memory than it originally had.
Or
to fix a problem.
Or
right.
Some of them you could sit there and flash them, and if, say, with the original board would only support, say, one speed of chip, up to a certain speed of chip, then you flash it, and now it'll support a little more. You know, like, say, it would only support an XP2400+. Now you do the flash, and it'll also support the 25s and the 2600+.
But if you're not looking to add anything more to the computer, then you don't need to bother updating the BIOS.
Right.
And for a six-year-old computer, I don't know that updating the BIOS is going to bring it anywhere near where you want to be anyway.
Well,
the two-year-old one, maybe.
I'm sorry?
The two-year-old one, maybe.
Uh-huh.
The six-year-old one, incredibly unlikely.
Okay.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. What was it you were trying to upgrade it to do?
Well, my son uses the older computer for a lot of, the kids' educational and some of those games and things that the kids play, and most of the newer ones won't run because it wants a better video card.
Yeah, the BIOS wouldn't help you with that anyway.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
You'd actually need to really replace the video card.
Card, the processor then.
Then the hard drive.
Yeah, unfortunately, the newer the newer games won't run on the old machine. Listen, we got to go. We're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco, and we will be back here next week at the regular time, 12:20 p.m. on Saturday. Thanks, everybody. This is Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Extraordinary floors at an ordinary...